Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man I haven't even really looked to pay attention to his fit tonight.
South Lake's finest.
And I'll tell you what this is. This is a fake group of five team. Doesn't exist.
Perfect.
And it's black for the farewell of the group of five cluster that is no more. They all choked. So there's only two left standing, and this is for all the other ones.
What is South Lake's mascot? They're the South Lake Whats. Since you're making them up, you can just come up with it.
How about the Centennials?
The South Lake Centennials?
okay.
Or how about Millennials?
He is the founder of the South Lake Centennials football program. He is the fabulous one. Freddie Bender.
Who's that fake team that was going around playing high schoolers?
On ESPN.
They had like 30-something-year-old like ex-cons playing for them and stuff. Like, who was that team?
I don't remember.
Actually did a documentary on it. I've never seen it.
Rocket Dogs or something?
The Rocket Dogs. I don't think that was it.
I remember they put their game on ESPN, and if you like, you can find it on social, like on Twitter, like the condensed highlights or whatever. And after like halfway through the first quarter, one of the announcers goes, "I'm not sure this our team's ever played football before." but hopefully South Lake will have an established program before they get on ESPN.
Yes, they're moving
up. That's what we're hoping
for. Brian Kelly's rumored.
Well, yeah, maybe. You can probably get him pretty cheap after he walks away
with the full
$53 million. We're going to get into all the football stuff here directly. I want to remind everybody we are on social media. Freddie, again, with his big TikTok video last week, tons of views on that. We went 2-2.
Three and two. Have a winning record.
We went 3-2 on our TikTok picks. Unfortunately, our total picks were not great last week. We went 8-12.
I'll take full credit for that.
Fred did not have a good week at 0-5. Tuna had a good week, 4-1. Colin and I went 2-3.
Post baseball, Tuna, I'm locked in, boys.
You said it. You said you were going to lock in, and that's the way to start.
Well, that keeps our overall record for the season at a still extremely respectable 108-81-1.
It's inching closer to 500.
I know.
We need a big week this week.
I have a feeling that we're going to get it. I have that feeling.
Yeah, I learned my lessons.
Before we get into the football, we are in Louisville, Kentucky, and last night, as we record this on a Wednesday night, Tuesday night, in an extremely early version of the Battle of the Bluegrass, the dream game, as it were, Kentucky came into the Yum Center, and for the first time in how many years has it been, Tuna?
Since COVID.
Yeah, like
2021 or 20. I think it was the December of 2020.
Okay.
So
it's been a long time. Louisville has been through a lot.
That was the famous Chris Mack, Eric Wood video from his basement where he said Kenny Payne won those games.
Yes.
And you can actually get a shirt now that says Kenny Payne won 4 games.
I have a towel in the garage bar of Kenny Payne that season, yes.
Oh, Lord.
There's a
it's upside down.
Fred, if you were to look just over the top of the bar on the floor on top of a box, you will see a picture of Kenny Payne in his U of L basketball uniform.
Nice.
With Never Nervous Purvis. I tried to give that picture to Tuna several, like, 2 years ago, and he wouldn't take it.
I'm not taking that. I have those guys disassociated with the university anyway. So, like,
What a twosome to have on that poster.
Yeah.
Purvis Ellison, who wants nothing to do at the university.
He's like dealing with AAU kids and telling them not to go to Louisville.
And Kenny Payne, who almost ran one of the great programs in the country. Jeez. Straight off a cliff. But the game happened last night. It was a very entertaining ball game. There were stretches where it appeared that Louisville was absolutely going to run away with the game. They got the lead up to 20 points at one point in the second half. Kentucky made a valiant comeback at the end. Louisville made some mistakes, missed a bunch of foul shots in a row. Kentucky conceivably, I mean, they had it to a two-possession ball game with an opportunity to make a one-possession game and just couldn't quite get over the hump. But, Tuna, your overall thoughts, I know it's early in the season. Mm-hmm. You don't want to take too much from it, but you have to be pleased with where Louisville has arrived at this point under Pat Kelsey.
Yeah, man, anytime we can beat Kentucky, I'm excited. But Pat Kelsey's been a godsend since he's been here. Like, this fan base was basically dead, and I haven't looked at or seen the Yum Center look like that in – I mean, it's been since Rick Pitino was here, since that Yum Center looked like that.
Well, they said it was, the third largest crowd for basketball game ever. Since they opened the place.
Well, there you
15
go.
15 years
wow.
ago.
I mean, it was great to see. I love Pat Kelsey's style of play. I mean, there was a lot of question marks going into this. One of my biggest got, I don't know if it's answered completely, but it came through last night, and that was our front court. I thought Sananda Frew really played a heck of a game last night. He was big in key moments down there. You know, you lose James Scott to the transfer portal, and that was basically our only guy down there. And then, you know, Hadley did well. Case and Pryor still recovering from that injury, not playing full minutes, but I don't really know what you're going to get with him night in and night out anyway.
Right.
I was a little bit worried if he was even on the court, if it was just going to do something stupid and blow the game for us. But I mean, there's no doubt, like last year before he got hurt, you look at down at the Bahamas, he was the best player on the court for us.
Yeah.
In those games, right up until he got hurt in that Oklahoma game. But
he killed IU.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in the IU game. He was great in the Virginia game or West Virginia game. Yeah, he was good. So we can get Kaysen back to that form. But, you know, Ryan Conwell was incredible, our freshman. Hell, this probably the best freshman we've had at Louisville since Never Nervous Purvis. What can you name a freshman that has as much talent that's been at U of L?
No, not lately. No.
There's not under Rick Pitino. There's like – what not, freshman did he ever have? Donovan Mitchell didn't really hit it until like his junior year. And,
right. He averaged about 8 a game as a freshman, but he was smart. He was mature among his, you know.
Definitely.
More than his age.
No, I think as far as an impact player as a freshman,
that's
you're probably right.
Yeah. You know, the moment wasn't too big for him, which, you know, you seen him play in the Kansas game and you kind of got a little nervous because he did play a little bit of hero ball in that game, and that was just an exhibition, so you can't take too much away from it. But seeing him last night against Kentucky, man, he was just dialed in. He let the game come to him. He played great. I love the ball movement. Every Kelsey out of timeouts is maybe one of the best in college basketball.
You know what
period.
I love about Kels is one thing you know you're going to get with a Kels coach team is they're going to be prepared and ready, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something that is obviously most successful coaches are going to have their team prepared. But with Kenny Payne, and I know we brought him up earlier, it was ridiculous to the point where – and now you've got this refreshing environment with this coach. It's got buku energy, and he knows his X's and O's. And he's all about detail, preparedness. You know, they came out. They play. I thought Pope and the Cats, and I think he's as good a great coach as well.
Yeah.
They just came out and had no flow. They had no – I'm not saying they're running a bunch of sets. Tommy even looked at me and goes, the days of running sets are over. But you know what I mean? We didn't have any plays that felt like they were being ran. It was straight up one-on-one ball. A lot of threes, a lot of air balls, a lot of misses, threes. and you all played great D, and Owe got into early foul trouble. And I'm still trying to find out who is Kentucky's leader going to be. I mean, you say that it's Owe.
No, I think Aberdeen's the guy.
But Aberdeen, yeah, but I'm not sure if he's ready to take that over. I mean, his first half was horrid, too. And then he got hot. But, man, kudos to Louisville. I mean, the Cats did come back and get it to, what, 3?
6.
Closest?
They had it to 6 and then they were on the foul line. Could have cut it to 4 and missed the front end.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every team's going to have their run in that game. And but I think your freshman is the one that put the cap, the knee, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, it was the first time in quite some time that I was watching the game and I thought Louisville has better players.
That's one of the first times in my life that I've watched a Louisville-Kentucky game, probably since I was a kid, and thought that we were the better team from the start. Because we've beat you guys in the past, but it's always been like, we got these scrappy guys that can fight. But
right.
Kentucky has these uber athletes.
Yeah.
Where last night I was like, we're the better basketball team.
Yeah.
Like, we've got better players. So I haven't felt like that in a long time.
We got a few injuries that we need to get back. So I'm not using that as an excuse at all. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I do think if Quaintance is what they say he is.
My thing with him,
but I don't know if that's going to bring gel.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't have ink all over my face, do I?
No, not at all.
I was sitting over here listening to you guys talk, and I'm like, what is that smell? And I look down, and my pen has exploded all over my hand. Sorry, please continue.
I want to talk about Quaintance for a second, because I know he's supposed to be a big part of this team going into March, but this is a guy that tore his ACL in March. You know what I mean? So, like, if he's back, it's not going to be until January or February, and then he's got to really get in basketball shape.
And get in the flow with the team.
It's weird that I don't know.
So
but
maybe we should be just looking for Nash.
Looking for Nash.
Or looking for Mountain Man.
Oh, Trenton Noah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pile on Kentucky because it's week 3 or game 3.
Yeah, but
so, but like, there's
he said that we weren't doing. He said we weren't running. Well, we were running in practice. We were having problems with that in practice.
Yeah,
I heard him after the game say that, which was playing defense and stopping a team in transition, and we couldn't do that with you all.
Yeah,
and Tune and I were talking, and I sent a message out last night. This early in the season, teams that are going to be really good defensively a lot of times aren't really good defensively yet.
Yeah.
Because that is something that comes from repetition and learn. Because I'm not going to get in the weeds here, but from a basketball standpoint, and I think most people listening to this show would understand this, there's so much more involved in playing great defense than guarding your guy.
Right.
You know? And teams have to learn that. And it's not something that comes instinctually to a lot of kids at any level. And it's something that as you practice, and get into game situations where the game speeds up, these first few games, several games of the year, the first few weeks, when you play another high-level team, sometimes you get exposed a little bit defensively. And I think that happened last night specifically to Kentucky. But I think as the season goes on, they're going to become a very good defensive team, because I think Pope has built this team to be just that. He wants to build this team around playing really good defense.
Right.
And I think eventually they will.
Yeah, and I thought Louisville got exposed by Kansas, too, and look what they came back, made adjustments, and look what they did last night, you know?
Yeah. That's what exhibition games are for.
There you go.
That's right. You know, so, trying different lineups.
Yep.
Running different sets if you know, no game planning to speak of, really. And
but
things
you can
like
bet
that.
On them.
But anyway, it was fun. I want to ask you guys. I mean, it's always fun when the game happens. Doesn't matter when. But I would much prefer it to be later in the year, like around the Christmas time, like it usually is, or right after Christmas, I guess it usually is.
Well, I think the only reason this year it was put out there is ESPN kind of approached Louisville. The home team kind of covers the scheduling. Louisville has the structure with the ACC now where we get paid off of our television ratings. We get a higher revenue for our ratings for our sports, football, basketball, women's basketball, so on. So they approached and said, this is, we want to like highlight this game for a Tuesday night to get everybody kind of into college basketball. And we agreed to it. So that
makes sense.
That falls on Louisville for this year. Now, I think going forward, because teams are playing, they're scheduling out of conference games, at least one of them, in February now. Like Louisville's playing Baylor in February. A lot of teams are doing this now. So I think moving forward, we're going to start doing it maybe in February. Mm-hmm. I think the days of the Christmas, New Year's are kind of going to be over with because no matter if it's Louisville, Kentucky, it could be number one, number two in the nation playing each other. You could have the worst bowl game in the world on in the Bahamas Bowl or whatever. And the Bahamas Bowl is going to crush it in ratings.
Yes.
Yeah. Regardless. Yeah. So to compete against football is tough. I mean, there's been days we've played on NFL Sundays. You know what I mean? And nobody's going to watch a Louisville, Kentucky game. And for us to be considered one of the biggest rivalries, we need eyeballs on the sport. You know what I mean? We can't. So February, usually everybody's locked into college basketball. You know what your team, I mean, your team's hitting on all cylinders by February.
Right.
So I think that's the best time for us to play each other. So hopefully that happens and transpires in the future. It's in Rupp next year, so they'll Kentucky takes the scheduling reins next year.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. Obviously, I know both you guys and I, and most, you know, I wonder what the television ratings were in Louisville. Like, is it 80% of households in this city?
The other 20 were outside looking at the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
You know, and it's cool because, like, at my daughter's school, they had a thing yesterday where they didn't have to wear their uniforms. They could wear a U of L or UK clothes or whatever, and everybody was doing it. The teachers were doing it. The principal was doing it.
Did your daughter wear Indiana stuff?
No. She had a
that would have been funny.
She had a Cardinals zip up. So she wore that.
It's the mecca of college basketball. Louisville, Kentucky. Kentuckiana.
I agree. I mean, then
I think basketball in general, not just college basketball. Like, we lead the ML or NBA ratings over anybody. Right. So, like, it's this is a basketball hungry area.
Certainly over any area that doesn't have a team.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but it was great. You know, I didn't really have a dog in the fight. I just want to see a great game. And, you know, I was thoroughly entertained, and I think both teams are going to be really good this year, and I think both teams are going to be very exciting come March, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, just I'm just trying to think, like, if you sat down and you watched that first half of basketball with no rooting interest, you were just watching a college basketball game, because that first half was just it was insanity.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, my God.
Dunks, threes.
Yeah, that would lock you into college basketball right away.
Yeah, and I, so, you know, if that's the what ESPN's goal was, then it worked, because they got a juiced environment, a packed giant arena with, you know, mostly U of L fans, but there was a decent amount of Kentucky, and they were making noise too. And then up and down, entertaining basketball, high scoring game, got close at the end. I don't know that you could ask for a whole lot more than that.
And then everybody was tuned in for the college football
playoff
thing, and then it just came on right after that.
Yep.
And it goes right to a just insane Yum Center.
Yeah. Right on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And that was cool too. So they got that great lead in.
Mm-hmm. It was a great lead in, man. It really was. Loud.
And so, so that was awesome. College basketball is clearly just getting cranked up, and once football is over, we'll be college basketball centric for sure. But let's talk about a little bit of college football. Let's talk about what happened last week. Tuna, I'm going to let you start.
With?
I want you to start. I want you to start with what happened here on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I want you to start with what happened here on Saturday night.
You're just trying
night.
To break me right out of
well,
the gate.
Well, like,
I was in a good mood talking about beating Kentucky.
I was just about to say.
You got to bring me back down.
I cannot allow you to ride this cloud of happiness right through the downstairs pub. Yeah. I need to poke a hole straight in that cloud and send you crashing right back down to earth. Because, you know, I clearly root – they're not my team or whatever, but I root for Louisville. And I knew what an opportunity they had on Saturday night. And I was sick about it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine if it's your team. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it. And, you know, as a 3-touchdown favorite, the way they lost, I thought they had had that game won 4 different times.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't make the play. Moss, you're right. That Long John Silver, some bitch.
He's just nicking you, right?
He can walk the plank, Tuna.
Dude,
he can walk the plank.
He is so bad at football. I've been piling on him all year. I almost feel guilty now because, like, when you see a player that's that bad, you're like, you feel bad making fun of him. But, and it's like, well, that's your starting quarterback, man. Like, why, how did we get to this point?
And I think you're right. I don't know if you've said it on the air yet, but I'm pretty sure you sent it in the text where you said, I think Jeff Brohm hates him as much as I do.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And I think you're right. The post game from Brohm was just, oh, my God, he was just throwing daggers out left and right.
Well, you can see the progression of how Brohm has spoken to him on the sidelines throughout, like, each game. Like, he really treated him with kid gloves early. Like, that second game against James Madison, he's over there. He's like, what'd you see? Why'd you do that? What are you doing? You know, so on. Now he's just chewing at him before he can even get to the sideline. And it's just, it's awful. And I think what it boils down to, look, the kid's an accurate passer. He really is an accurate passer. He's just really scared to get hit. He's scared of playing football. And I don't know how you get to this level in your career by being that scared to stand in the pocket, to even in the open field. He showed it on that run. On that third down run where he could have ran for like 20 plus yards. And then like, he just, I don't even know what he's doing. He doesn't think he's got happy feet. It's everything goes out the window. The minute he gets a bit of pressure, I've seen him step in the pocket and deliver a pass one time this year. And it was a 2-point conversion against James Madison. And that was it. but he is, it's just not. And, you know, Jeff Brohm, he was one of the toughest quarterbacks to ever play the sport. Like, he'd be in there, like, last second, taking those hits and delivering. Like, toughness was something that he had, and I'm sure it just makes his stomach turn.
Well, yeah, his
– watching what he's seeing.
His, you know, one of his, like, claim to fames is, I have a pulse, don't
I?
Yeah,
in the
Let's
XFL.
Play football.
Yeah. I mean, between him and Chris Redman, those are two of the toughest human beings to ever play the sport of football. Like, I mean, for Louisville. But anyway, I'm glad this happened. Because now I can take my expectations. I knew even if we got to the playoff, what were we going to do there? Even if we won the ACC, what were we going to do in the playoff? Just get blown out by somebody else in there? Now, like, I came into the season, I wanted two trophies. The boots, we got the boots. I want the Pop-Tart trophy. Now we can get that Pop-Tart trophy. So, I mean,
all your goals are right there in front of you.
I mean, the thing is, we can still have a 10-2 season.
Sure.
I mean, which is incredible. It's just we're in this world now where, like, if you don't make the playoff, it's a disappointing season.
I know.
And I don't look at it like that. I mean,
I actually, and I've said it on this program before, that's the one thing I think that this playoff scenario has bothered me the most, is that it's like, if you don't make the playoffs, somehow it's a disappointing season. When in the past, because, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, like, say Indiana next year wins 9 games and goes to the Gator Bowl or something. Are people going to go like, oh, man, what a downer, yeah. You know, like, when the last time Indiana went to the Gator Bowl, mm-hmm. I thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
And I hate it that is a thing now,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it sucks, but, I mean, it is what it is. I'm still excited for the season. I hope to God we go out and just beat Clemson up Friday night. Losing a chance for the playoff, it's not breaking me on the season. But that false expectation of something magical happen, that's gone now. And now I can just sit back and look at this like a regular season. And
UofL making the playoff at the beginning of the year? I'm just curious. I'm not saying that as a...
I did. I thought we had a legit chance to... Honestly, we're a quarterback away from being a really good football team.
I was going to ask you, too. Yeah. What if Louisville had the quarterback from Cal?
Oh, Sagapatule?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get – I hope to God that Vince Merrill got a hold of him and took him out to dinner the other night, but after the game.
I would love to see what Brom could do with a guy of that.
I like how Brom said, he goes, I watched him warm up on the field and I knew we were playing a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, he's going to go somewhere big time next year. But I would like to see, I know you can't really, I guess you can, but you can pull Miller Moss at this point and see what you got for next year. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some packages put in. He was asked about it in his press conference, you know, and he said, well, there's always a plan in place to give us the best chance to win. I think the best chance to win is somebody else playing quarterback. But,
right.
I mean, you don't know. I trust him. If he thinks Miller Moss is the best chance, then obviously he doesn't think much of the other guys. So
that's very true.
So, I mean, he's going to play the best player. Just because you're making more money and you're labeled the starter and you're doing Long John Silver commercials, you're not penciled in as the starter. So
Billboards.
Yeah.
I'd love to see his acting chops.
But that's it. But to answer your question, it was it sucked and it was miserable. I was in a dark place Saturday night. But like I said, it was you're throwing money. You get the realization that all that stuff's over with now. Now we can focus on getting to the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Yeah.
So
and you're hot on the betting scene.
Right, yeah, now. I've been winning some money.
Maybe you hexed them.
So sad Saturday night.
Did you think you hexed them? You bet against them.
Well, no, because we had 19 points to spare.
Yeah, right.
I was just asking.
I didn't expect for one kid to have 16 damn catches against us. Like, what the hell? And he was like 4 foot tall. Like, this
Derek
was the smallest
Anthony.
Dude
Little
I'd ever
Derek
seen
Anthony.
On the football field. I don't know, man. That was just a bad team. But, all right.
Well, let's
should we just continue on with the ACC? Or?
No.
There's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, they all lost.
We're going to get to the
all
ACC here in a second. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about this Indiana game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Indiana goes to Penn State, where they have never won. Never. 0-13 going into that game. I had said on these very airwaves last week that I wouldn't believe that they could win in that building until it actually happened. I knew it was going to be a dogfight. I knew that Penn State would play their best game of the season, and they did. And even at that point, Indiana had 2 and 3 times chances where I really thought they could – kind of pull away and put some distance between themselves and Penn State. Every time Penn State's defense stepped up, made a play, forced IU to kick a field goal, Penn State got hot. In the second half, that Singleton kid who we all thought coming into the season was going to be dynamite became the player. I mean, he said in the post game, first time all year I felt like myself.
Not both of those running backs.
Yeah.
What was the other guy, Nick? There's Singleton, and what's the other kid's name? But anyway, they were both really good,
yes.
I thought.
And, you know, Indiana made some uncharacteristic mistakes. Mendoza throws a pick that sets up the go-ahead touchdown for Penn State. And here's the interesting thing, and I don't know if you guys obviously don't follow IU as closely as I do, but
Catron Allen. Sorry.
Yes, yeah, Allen. I don't know if you guys know this, but or if you think back about it, think about these three plays that Mendoza has had this year in difficult road environments. The first one at Iowa,
yes,
he throws the pick that could have cost them the game. Iowa comes, you know, runs it back to 25. Indiana's defense tightens up. They force a missed field goal. What does Mendoza do with less than 2 minutes to go? He gets the ball. He takes it down the field. He throws a 50-yard touchdown to Surratt.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Indiana's up 20-13, late in the ball game. Throws a pick. It gets returned for a touchdown. Now it's 20-20, late in the fourth quarter. What happens on the very next possession? Mendoza leads him right down the field. He throws the go-ahead touchdown to Surratt. Saturday, he throws the pick. It was a bad pass. It's the worst pass he's made all year.
Yeah.
It's the worst pass he's made all year. It was the first time that I felt like Indiana was bothered really all year. Like they screwed up some substitutions. The defense was kind of sniping back and forth at each other. Penn State goes down and scores. Minute and 58 seconds or whatever it was to go in the game. The unflappable Mendoza gets sacked on first down. Now it's like second 18 or whatever.
I remember the sack.
And the very next, and then it was completion, spike, completion, completion, completion.
Solid.
And it's first and goal at the 7-yard line. Two, tough plays where Penn State, and what I loved here at the end was, you know, on the 7-yard line, Penn State just goes zero blitz on all three plays. And they really got to Mendoza on all three plays. But the third play, he took an extra, like, half step back and knew he had to throw it where he threw it. And then let's talk about the catch. Now, I'm sitting in the basement here with my dad and Colin.
Yeah.
Watching this game unfold in real time. And he catches that ball, and I saw the official throw up the touchdown sign, and I said, there's no way he got his foot in. That first foot, it clearly was out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
And then we watched it like everybody else did, and he literally had...
It was like it was on a lever.
Yes.
It just dropped.
And he had the time, if you
look
watch
down.
It, he looked down at his feet.
I know.
And saw where he needed to put his other foot.
He figured out which foot to use.
And he dropped it right in there. Like for the moment, for the moment and what it meant to Indiana, because it probably is the difference between Indiana getting a bye in the first round of the playoffs or hosting a playoff game. It literally could have been that big. Because if you lose that game, you're probably, you get knocked down to maybe fifth?
Yeah, it maybe at least. I think they'd still be, they'd probably be fourth, probably still over Alabama.
Maybe. But then if you get beat in the Big Ten championship game, you're going to probably drop down a little bit more. So I believe that play up to this point is the most important play in the history of Indiana football.
Now, that was third down, correct?
It was.
So they could have kicked the field goal to go to overtime if that catch wasn't made, right?
No, they were down four.
They were down four. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
They had
they had to score a touchdown.
They had to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
They had to have a touchdown.
The biggest thing that blew my mind in this game is Charlie Baker or Becker. Jesus, man. This kid was catching everything. Where the hell did he come from?
Well, and he had.
You thought, I mean, Surratt out, and then this guy just pops up out of nowhere? Yeah. Like,
and we all knew, people that follow Indiana football knew that he had the ability to stretch the field. He's like a deep threat guy, which you saw at the beginning of the ball game. And that first quarter, he had like the 55-yard, 53-yard catch down the field. But what we hadn't seen was him assuming the position of Surratt and making these huge drive-extending plays. Not only the one in the winning drive where he dropped the foot. Do you remember the other one that he had on the sideline where – it almost looked like Mendoza was throwing it out of bounds, and he went up over the guy and kind of pinned it on his helmet and then caught it. And that led to a field goal, an important field goal for IU. So, yeah, I mean, not having Surratt, and, boy, it really showed to me how – I mean, we all know how important he is. He's one of the best receivers in the Big Ten.
In the country.
But his ability – to separate on like third and sixes and stuff and extend, they didn't have that and they missed that. But Becker, of course, came in, had over 100 yards. I think he ended up with 7 catches, which is how many catches he had all year coming into that game. And then I thought
every one of his catches seemed like a big, meaningful catch.
Yeah, they were all huge. And you know, Indiana's defense played well. They gave up 2 drives. One of them was, I thought, there were a couple mistakes they don't usually make, and then one was set up by the interception. But they are a team right now to me that if they have the ball and have a chance – to win a ball game, I believe they're going to do it. Like I really believed when that drive started. I said if Indiana gets the ball back, they are going to go down and win this ball game. And they got the ball back, and they went down and won the ball game. And I know it was like, what is that, 5-6 losses in a row for Penn State now this season. But I don't care. That exercised so many demons for Indiana football and Indiana football fans. And I've seen IU lose games there in a thousand different ways. And for them to win that particular game, now what I am interested in, and I'm going to be the only guy in the United States that cares, is I'm interested to see if Penn State builds off that and smokes Michigan State this weekend.
I tell you, Grunkenmeyer looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty impressive against a damn good defense.
You know,
right.
You know, he really struggled in the first quarter, and then I think they made a couple of adjustments to get him some easy throws, and he played fantastic last 3 quarters of that football game.
Yeah, that little number 8 for them, the wide receiver or whatever, was it Pena?
Yeah.
He was making big catches too, and he was bailing him out quite a bit.
And their defense, Penn State's defense, played great.
I thought so.
And they were, I mean, and they were smart. They were just like, the hell with it. We're just going to blitz the shit out of you. And if you beat us that way, then so be it. But they bothered Mendoza a lot. And but you know, IU, as they have done in most games the last 2 seasons, but this season in particular, found a way to win.
I think one of my favorite things about this game was Cignetti in his post-game interview on the field. He was his true personal self in that game, which you don't see a lot. He's got a lot of these scripted quips, and like he kind of puts on the shtick, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's like with these one-liners and so on, but he was just, you could tell that he was just like in the moment, like, wow, this is incredible.
Well, and, you know, he had started going, he said in the post game, you know, his dad was college coach for years and years and years. And he said, I started coming to games here in 1970. And he said, I can remember driving home with my dad from every other year, and there were some awful car rides home. Mm. And he said, that's what I was thinking about, was that I brought my team in here, and we were able to win a game, and we're going to have a hell of a fun ride back to Bloomington.
Yeah, I like that side of Sig, man. Yeah. Like, just watching him, yeah, that sideline, or not sideline, but post-game interview, I thought he was great, all that. But, yeah, that watching Mendoza completely do a 180, not a 180, because he was okay at Cal, but, man, it's just a different human being. Like, I don't understand how you improve like that over 1 year, man. Like,
well, it helps to have
talent,
better players
around
you, and it helps to have, you know, one of the best offensive coordinators
and lines
in Shanahan, and the line is great. Even, you know, Indiana's missing a key piece of their offensive line, and they're probably not going to get him back until the Purdue game. He hasn't played the last two games. Surratt being out, and I thought this was the game that could really cause IU problems from him not being in there. Like, he doesn't have to play these next two games.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah, you're slightly dinged up for Indiana right now, you don't play this week, and then you get a bye week, and then you play Purdue, you play everybody for, like, the first half, and then everybody sits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But, no, it was awesome. It was a great moment for me personally. You know, like I said, getting to watch it with Colin and my dad, three incredibly long-time, loyal, long-suffering Indiana football fanatics.
Right.
To have that moment down here, I kind of wish I would have had my phone on record over in the corner, but I was so caught up in the moment that I didn't think to do it. But everybody that was upstairs said that they knew what happened because they heard this eruption of noise from down here when they scored. But anyway, enough about that about the IU game. Texas Tech, Tuna. You called it. What'd you think about that?
I think this defense is one of the best in all of college football, and I don't even know about all of college football this year. Maybe all of college football the past couple years. This defense is nasty. Like, they get after you. And now Baron Morton, having him back there, a different animal, he's still playing hurt, man. You watch him, he's little, you know, light in that pocket. He doesn't run as much as he does. That leg's really bothering him still. But, man, this defense can really win them some games, dude. And they are loaded with
talent.
They're
purring along.
And I think they are probably one of the most underranked, underappreciated teams in all of college football. I put them right there with the undefeateds, the three, the A&M, the Indiana, and Ohio State. Like, they're right there. The talent level's there. They're playing like it. They do it all, man. I love this Texas Tech team.
I'm inclined to agree with that.
And just with old Central Florida and then Rich Rod in West Virginia.
Yeah, I know.
That was, you know, the way West Virginia's throwing the ball around, that'll be kind of insane, you know, going there for an ending. But you're right. They're playing fantastic, dude.
And I don't know.
I'll tell you, Bear Brockmeyer, he looked like a different person in that game.
Yeah.
Like, he did not. He was out of his element, man.
Yep.
How much of America do you think's seen Texas Tech play?
The percentage of football fans that have seen them play? Probably 25 to 30% have watched the complete game of them.
They're gonna find, this team is like say, remember how SMU was playing real good last year and they were kinda like, man, they might make the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
this team's way better than that.
This team's way better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
They're a legit championship contender. Like, I honestly believe that.
Right.
It's not like I mean, Arizona State was a surprise team from the Big 12 last year, and we were like, everybody had their reservations. We're like, oh, we all love Cam Scataboo. We like, you know, Rocco and
the wide receivers playing
Sam Levitt,
Tyson or whatever.
Yeah, all that. But we didn't really appreciate them until the playoffs when they were just giving it hell.
Whoa.
I think the Big 12 is a little tougher than what the rest of the country's giving it credit for.
I agree.
I'd almost put Utah. BYU's a different animal.
I think Utah's rated too low, but they have to put them there because of BYU.
Yeah, exactly. And then Texas Tech. Like, I feel like those three can play with a lot of the big threes across college
football. I think Utah can play with Oregon right now,
For sure. Definitely. Hell, if they were in the Pac-12 and playing each other and that was still existing,
I'd love to see,
they'd probably be a favorite in the game.
I'd love to
they
see,
play.
Like, a Texas Tech and Georgia or Bama. You know, just like a good, that would be a fun game.
That's a game that I want in a matchup in the playoffs so much is Texas Tech and Georgia. And we can roll right into the Georgia game after this.
Yeah, please.
But that was a team that I was down on for a majority of the season. They just have not
been
impressive.
Yeah, you haven't been down on them.
Man, that offense was clicking. Their defense was playing. They looked almost like Georgia of old.
They did.
Saturday. In just a hostile environment.
Yeah.
Man, they look like contenders right now. That's, and I want to see if they can continue and do that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to have to play them twice. No. And I see them over in Bama's side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to play Georgia a second time.
If you can give me Texas Tech and Georgia in a first-round game at Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, my God.
Buddy, I would.
Dude.
Give me that. That's one of the – give me all that. I want all of that for college football right there.
Yeah.
Like, the nation would love that.
I'm totally with you.
But I would love to see a home game in Lubbock for this, but for the playoff. But I think that's one of the best atmospheres in all of college football, even though they took the tortilla toss out. But
yes, it's still being smuggled.
Yeah.
They're still smuggled tortillas.
But that Georgia game, I mean, Gunnar Stockton is really kind of coming into his own a little bit. Nate Frazier was absolutely incredible in that game.
Running
he
back,
ran,
180
plus yards in that game?
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
Georgia's definitely a dangerous team that is improving.
Yep. I definitely would not want no part of them going forward.
I almost feel like
SEC.
Ole Miss has peaked and Georgia hasn't yet.
I agree with that. That's Kirby, man. Like, Kirby's just slugging along. He's one of the best damn coaches, if not the best in all of college football right now.
I agree.
Like,
and
well,
he makes the best
we just kind of overlook
him
because they look sluggish, and then here it is playoff time, and they're right there in it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Where y'all want to go next?
What you got next?
I did quickly want to talk about the Oregon-Iowa game. I don't know if you guys saw any of that.
I did. I watched almost all of that.
But I was pretty impressed with Oregon because they won an Iowa game. Like, they won the way Iowa wins.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was nasty.
Ooh, rainy and cold.
Kinnick,
man,
was wild.
Yep.
I mean, the wind was blowing sideways 30 mile an hour, and they found they got down. It kind of reminded me in a way of how Indiana won there.
Right, it really did.
They got down way at the end, and Moore makes just an incredible throw against great coverage to set up the game-winning field goal.
Right.
I was very impressed with the way Oregon won that game.
Right. He came down the field. I just rewatched the second half. I obviously didn't see it live. But man, what a drive. What a drive to get the field goal.
Yeah.
He showed me something there, finally. And I've been, a tough critic on Oregon and him. And I still think that they are going to mess up, but that was impressive.
And they didn't have their best wide receiver in that game either.
And, well, heck, they don't have a whole lot of them.
And that's the thing that got me in this game is Dan Lanning came in with a game plan that, like you said, we're going to Iowa this team. And they only threw, I think he only threw for like a little over 100 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
And they ran and ran and ran and ran. And, I mean, I think they ran for 260 in that game as a team and just over Iowa's 100. Like, they had 100 rushing yards. So, it was – they won the battle in that game by running the ball. But, yeah, it was a great game plan by Dan Lanning, and that was their best win of the year, probably their toughest test they have this season.
Oh, by far, by far.
And they passed the test.
Yep.
So, I don't know how I feel about them going forward. Like, they still – I don't know. We'll see them in the playoff because they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do they have? Oregon State left?
No, I think they've already played the Civil War, okay. Haven't they?
Well, yeah.
I don't know their remaining schedule.
They.
Well, remember, it's the easiest schedule in the country.
They got Washington still. So right?
Yeah. I believe their last game is Washington. And they play Friday night, same time as Louisville, at home against Row the Boat.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah. Right. And Washington looked good right up until they got their butt smacked last week.
And but, you know, that was a weird game, too. Now, they didn't respond the way that Oregon did, but that was horrible weather. And, you know, Washington.
At Wisconsin?
Washington is not as talented as Oregon. But
Wisconsin is a horrible loss.
Wisconsin is worse, way worse than Iowa. So I'm not trying to conflate the two. But it was a weird game. I watched a decent amount of that game because I'm a sadist. Because it was maybe one of the worst football games I've ever seen.
Luke Fickell, that was probably the first time in his coaching career where he said, we're not going to throw the ball. We're just going to run.
Yeah.
And it's like he realized that he's coaching Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He won by three.
It was the first time he realized.
Their leading passer in the game was their punter.
Yeah.
Before we get into this week's games, I just want to talk about the total game. We've gone over a little bit of it already. But the total gag job that the ACC did this weekend. Mm-hmm. And you brought up something, Tuna, on our text thread. It was either this morning or last night, I forget. And then I saw a couple of the national college football people talking about it today. The possibility that the ACC could actually be shut completely out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Expound on that.
Yeah, it's the way it's written is like your five highest – conference champions. So now the only way this happens if like the ACC just beats each other up these last 3 weeks to where James Madison would be ranked above them, because
Wake's gonna
you would take
in.
The AAC champion over them, but the five highest ranked conference champs get in. So now Miami's still pretty high in the polls, so you know, probably higher than what they should
higher
be.
Higher than they should.
I'm not going to argue that. I think they're doing that just to help Notre Dame out.
to make their loss
not look so bad. But, so there's definitely a scenario where the ACC gets left out. I personally would love to see it. I think it'd be hilarious. But I'm telling you, man, Pittsburgh is a team that can win this thing.
Yeah, like they have it in their hands, but everyone that usually has it in their hands chokes this year. It's been kind of nuts.
Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh are probably, in my opinion, the two best teams in this conference
right
now.
They're the only ones left, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I would like to see that be the ACC championship game. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's a possibility.
Don't forget Duke can still pop in
there. That's what I'm saying. So, like, if Duke was to win the ACC, and they, like, I think they're 5-4
Their record is 5-4, but they're 4-1 in the conference.
Yeah, but so they could end up like 6-4 after this weekend. I don't know, dude. It's a disaster. So I guess if they won the ACC, they wouldn't be one of the highest ranked conference champions,
right?
And then ACC would get left out.
That's when you can get shut out.
Yeah, but it's funny if you got all these teams, if there's a 7-way tie with where they all have 2 losses,
yeah,
Louisville's the first team in.
Oh God!
So I don't even want that hope. I personally think Brett Key deserves to be an ACC championship game. I think what Narduzzi has done this year, with that making the balls to pull Eli Holstein off the field and maybe do what Jeff Brohm should have done a couple weeks ago and put the freshman in, that's been a game changer for them. They're a different team, and getting Desmond Reed back is just – they're absolutely a different team like that. They're, I think, probably the best team in the conference right now.
Yeah.
So, that's what the ACC needs is those two playing for it. I just don't think there's a scenario where those two get in.
Right.
So,
which is unfortunate. Yeah. I think you're
Vandy's
right.
Vandy's making a push to help make that happen.
What's that now, Fred?
I said Vandy's making a push up there as being one of them latter SEC schools.
That was
pushing.
That was going to be the last game that I want. I'm not going to spend any time on this at all, except to say.
But I
want to
mention one.
If you watched the Vanderbilt Auburn game last week,
it was fun.
It was one of the funnest games I've seen all season. Just, I mean, there was goofy stuff happening all over the
field. What time was that game?
It was at night.
Oh, okay. I didn't see 1 second of it, I guess, because Louisville was getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, I just rewatched the second half, so.
Yeah, I had Louisville on the big screen and Vandy on the TV right here behind the bar, and I was going back and forth between both of them. And, you know, Vandy made enough plays, and it was super high scoring. Pavia did his thing.
Auburn is a team not given up. Their defense is playing hard. Their offense is playing hard.
Defense was horrible.
Good God, their wide receiver had what's his name? Tuna, what's his name?
You talking about the tight end?
Yeah, no, the wide receiver that's going to be one of the top 10 picks in the draft.
For Auburn. Yeah, was it Cameron? God damn it.
Copeland? What? Gosh. Hold on. I haven't. Anyways,
keep going.
He
I'll tell
is,
you here a
he is,
I can't believe
he
I'm
had
on
one hell of a game.
He still has to be Cam Coleman. He still
Cam
has to
Coleman.
Be in college next year, right?
Dude.
He's not draft eligible yet.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just a sophomore, correct? I think.
I haven't got a clue, but he tore Vanderbilt apart.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I've heard
Bama
rumors
fits.
That Ohio State's already going after him. Probably along with every other team in the country.
Right.
So,
but anyway, that was a lot of fun. Fred, you had one more that you wanted to talk
about.
Well,
I just want to say that I want to talk about the Bama debacle for a second. Sloppy, that's another thing, Tuna. Mm-hmm. Alabama right now, they're playing sloppy. You know, their offensive line, I don't know what's going on with that. We had 28 rushes for 40-something yards.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't watch any of that game.
Well,
either.
let me tell you something. It was ugly. You did not want to watch it. I mean, hell, it was 17-9 for like a quarter. We missed a field goal. They missed a field goal. Sacks. So right now, Bama is not purring on one. But, hey, by the way. I went to the game.
Yeah. Damn right you did.
I did.
Yeah.
I'd already forgotten about that.
I know.
Well, let me refresh your memory.
I would much rather hear about your experience at the game than the game itself.
Okay, well.
It was probably way more interesting.
We went down to a soccer tournament in Nashville, and one of our last club soccer tournaments for the season, and around 11 o'clock at night, I'm watching the tube. They're starting to lay down in bed, and my wife goes, oh, my gosh, the soccer tournament's canceled. And it was raining on the way down, so some of the teams didn't get to play on Friday, so I guess it messed up the pretty beautiful day that was Saturday, which it was beautiful out. Made no sense to me, I don't know. But anyways, we decided.
I think it rained like 3.5 inches in Nashville.
On Friday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had real bad storms for like 2 days in a row.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, put it this way. What are we going to do, Tuna? Are we going to go walk down in Nashville or whatever? Are we going to make an audible and go, no, we're going to T-Town. We're going to the Bama LSU
game.
Damn
right.
And we did.
And you got to
drive
past
Big Jim's
movie
bungalow. And the wife. Yep. Oh, yeah. So we get in there. We get a nice parking pass, tickets. Went to the quad and tailgated for a few hours. My wife walks in. She's walks right on into the quad, and the sidewalks had been redone, kind of, so the dirt's not up with it flush.
Uh-huh.
sprung ankle.
Oh,
bam!
Shit.
Right when we walk into the quad. But she toughed it out. Kudos to her. And my little guy had a ball. I mean, we went everywhere. We covered the whole stadium. Went to all the statues. You know, of course, he loved inside the game. We went over there and shook the Bears' hand and the Saban and all the legends. Took him to Rammer Jammers over there in the
Did you get some Archibalds?
Cordy. No, we did not get Archibalds. But anyways, long story short, the game was kind of a bore, but my first time in four tries of beating LSU being
nice.
In the game.
Got over the hump. Maybe
so
it was Clayton.
Broke
Maybe
the
he was the lucky.
He was the lucky.
What'd he think about
yeah.
the atmosphere?
Oh, he had an absolute blast.
Is
From
he a full-on Bama fan now?
Beginning to end. Yeah, huh?
Is he a full-on
no,
Bama
he's
fan
still
now?
Still U of L.
Attaboy.
Man.
Hold strong.
He's cards, and but he does now respect and know what a Southern tailgate's
okay.
all about down yeah. in T-Town.
It is an atmosphere down there.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I mean, his head was bobbing all over the place. Anyways, great win. Sorry, corn dogs. You lose. Sorry, Josh.
Did you see Johnny?
I did wave to Johnny on the sidelines. Nice. He came up, said, I'm by the fan, did a little wave. Now, they're kind of, with Kelly being gone, they played absolutely horrendous. I mean, it was just an ugly, ugly game. It really wow. was. So
and an easy cover.
Fumbles.
As I
and
predicted.
And the easy cover.
As
yeah.
I
16
predicted.
16-9, I'm sweating my ass off the whole game. And finally, we kick a couple field goals like, yeah, we won. We crushed them.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm glad that you guys got to go down there and that your son got to experience that. That's something that I'm sure you and he and his mother will always remember. That's
oh, yeah.
Very, very cool. Let's move on to this week. We have some games that still have some playoff implications. Not going to waste any time talking about Indiana or Ohio State. They both have bowl over games this weekend. The game that we talked about, College Game Day is going to. I'm really looking forward to it. Notre Dame at Pittsburgh. I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be a ball game.
Yeah, but
what do you guys think?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's Pitt can't let Jeremiah Love just beat him like that. And I think Narduzzi can be pretty good against running backs like Jeremiah Love that aren't necessarily just big speedster home run hitters. But weird things happen in what was formerly known as Heinz Field. I don't know what it's called now, but that's a weird place to play, and they're getting it at a weird time. And Notre Dame better watch their ass because Pittsburgh can definitely win this game.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I'm. But what's it like, Tuna, when you're walking into Pitt if you're a Notre Dame player?
Well, it's going to be like a home game with a lot of like yellow seats because I feel like there's probably going to be more Notre Dame fans there than actual Pittsburgh fans. Pittsburgh Panther fan base, unfortunately, since the Dan Marino days, they don't really have much of a fan base.
Okay.
And if they are, they don't show up for games. They spend their Saturdays getting ready for Steelers football. You know what I mean?
Do they – this is probably a really stupid question, but do they still play any games in a on-campus stadium?
No, they got rid of that old stadium.
Okay, so they tore that down.
That old stadium was so cool, too.
Yes.
It was awesome. And the worst thing that they did was moving all their games.
So they play all their games at
yeah,
Steelers.
It's killed that atmosphere.
Okay.
It's all there. But that old stadium was, I mean, those big, like, castle doors
yeah,
when you walked
like,
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool. But, yeah, that's over with, unfortunately. But, I don't know how they get recruits to go to Pittsburgh. Like, if you bring in a kid there and he's walking out and he sees, like, the eight people in the stands, you're like, I don't want to do this. But they do. They consistently get talent up there. I don't know. But, yeah, they can definitely hang with this Notre Dame team. I think it's a scary spot for Notre Dame. And I think Pittsburgh can easily win this game.
Fred, what do you think?
I totally agree. I think Pittsburgh's defense is playing solid. I think that Notre Dame, I don't know. I got to tell you, the way I think it's going to go is I think Notre Dame's purring along. I think they're playing better than
CJ Carr's getting better every week.
I think their defense can handle this great quarterback at Pitt that I respect the hell out of that you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. I see it going like 27-14.
Well, it's a 12.5-point spread right now. So that puts it about right on the number.
I would love to see the upset. Mm-hmm. I'm all over Pitt. This Tony Dorsett.
Notre Dame's
let's go.
Real last test, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like their last big game.
It.
If not, they're home free in the
playoffs. But if they follow suit of the ACC, they're gonna drop right now to be the fifth team that faltered. So what I would like to see is them not be that.
Yeah.
Who's Georgia Tech got, by the way?
Georgia Tech has Boston College.
Okay, yeah, that's a win.
Yeah, that's a nothing game.
Right. I was just curious, but yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of huge games in the SEC. Let's talk first about Texas going to Athens and playing Georgia. Georgia favored by 6 points, obviously a huge game for Texas and their playoff considerations. What do you guys think is going to happen in this one?
I think Gunnar Stockton's going to have to win this game. Frazier's not going to run like this against Texas. He's going to have to go all out in this game, and I want to see it a couple weeks in a row. If Georgia can put together, you know, 2 weeks in a row like I seen from last week, follow that up with this week, I'm going to be very impressed. But I'm still down on this Texas team. Their offense just isn't there. Yeah. But that defense is dirty,
it is dirty, but when they go on the road, they're back on the road now. They don't play as good on offense. They just don't. Nope. I see Georgia winning this.
I do too.
By about 14 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got Georgia as one of my picks this week to cover that 5.5. I don't see it at 14 like you do, but I could see a 10-point win for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Georgia's the much better team. And
just them being at home, I just have a good feeling about
it. Night game in Athens and Arch is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say much about it.
No, I respect what Texas has done.
Sark's been coaching his
even
ass
off. Even though it's been ugly.
He's going to have to do it again.
Yeah, it's been real ugly, and there's been bumps in the road, you know, like a roller coaster. But they're playing gritty. They're surviving. So,
Fred, of course, another big game in the SEC this week.
Huge. Game of the week in my mind.
Oklahoma coming to T-Town to play your Crimson Tide.
Yes, this is payback number 4 in the volume of 2025. To complete the full volume, we must get this victory. It's good. Like, what did I talk about at the you know, the LSU game? Offensive line. Well, buddy, if they don't bring it this time, it's over real quick because this defensive line is not going to play like LSU did.
Right.
And LSU played better than other teams have against us on our line. I mean, Harold Perkins came in, knocked the ball loose from Simpson a couple times. So this line here, Tuna, they worry me a little bit. In Oklahoma, man, they went to Tennessee. They know they can go to a tough environment, a tough blue blood environment, and win. And that's what scares me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like when they beat Tennessee in that game because I was like, now they believe.
That
but
was a blackout game up there,
at the same
too.
Time, this is the locker room. In our locker room, this is payback number 4. They kept us out of the playoff last year with this loss. I hope DeBoer is pumping that up. I know that Legend called in and just – I've never heard Legend down there ever rip the team, the players. It's most of the time – because he respects them so much, he's just on the coaches. And a lot of times what he talks about that's not going well with the team, he is correct about. I will give him that for sure. He knows football. And he was all over the offensive line, like ripped him. And I hope that got to him. Because these guys, like how the hell are they running, handing the ball off and running the ball in the end zone and you can't block for Jam Miller? You know what I mean? These guys are going to be top 10 of the draft, three of them. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on. Like, someone's going to have to light a fire in them. And I think what it's going to come down to, Tuna, is I believe that Simpson, he really looked off last game. But I have a feeling that our wide receivers, we're going to finally put it together and actually come out running the football and running it good. Riley, Jam Miller. And I think we're going to really try to focus on the run and get our offensive line pumped up and take pressure off of Simpson. What do you think? That's how I think we're going to beat him, if we can.
Yeah, I think this has potential just to be an ugly, sloppy, just, you know, 10-7 game type game.
Yeah.
So,
we're not playing good right now.
I'm not betting this game at all. This is just a 3:30 midday. I can't wait to watch it.
Right.
The idea of trying to put money on this game, I just can't see it because I can talk myself into so many different scenarios on when this game can happen.
Right.
I think Bama should win this game. I think they're the better team. But like you said, Oklahoma's got dog in them, man. So
they do.
They can get that road win. They're not worried about – Bryant Denny's not going to scare them one bit.
Yeah. Right. I agree. Right.
I do think that Bama has a little pressure. They can lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So the pressure isn't immense.
No.
But anyways, it's going to be fun. I respect the hell, by the way, quickly, I respect the hell out of Oklahoma and their fans. I think the Bama fans have a great respect for Oklahoma fans and vice versa. We've had a home and home away with them a few times. And I have heard nothing but A-plus things about
Well, since you guys started allowing them into Panama City, then I guess everything's fine and dandy. And
yeah.
Fred, how about their coach? Do you have enough respect for their coach to call him by his real name or not?
No.
Okay, so on this
just
podcast, it's still vegetables.
Well, we'll
no call, vegetables.
No,
in Panama
he
City.
Has earned the respect of Venables.
Okay,
he has earned the respect.
And you know, at the same time on Saturday at 3:30, this game doesn't really have playoff implications per se. But I am going to be very interested, just from a styles perspective, how Iowa and USC match up.
Right.
The game's out there
in
LA.
I think that's going to be a great game.
You know, USC's going to be trying to take the top off the defense, and Iowa's going to be trying to ground and pound.
Right. Oh,
and
man.
I think that's going to be a fun,
it really
interesting
is.
Game.
What time is that at?
It's the same time as the Bama.
Okay.
It's
I'll have that on the other team. Man, how about that wide receiver for USC?
Yeah, he's really good.
Dude.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They're
playing good.
No, they're not bad. They're just, I don't think they have the physical chops to really compete against top teams.
I'll give you that.
It's not.
I watched them get beat by Illinois, and I know it was earlier in the season, but to me, they were exposed at that time. Like, they can't compete with top.
Yeah, they have the talent.
Notre Dame showed it.
Yeah.
Against
they have
everything.
The talent. Yeah. They just don't have the grit.
They can't compete with, like, they're a good, very good football team.
Skill positions are solid
but
as
they
hell.
They can't compete with the top.
Right. They're
the
a little young.
Level.
They're a little young, too.
With the top level. Any other games, guys? I'm sure there's some group of five games that I haven't talked
South
about.
Florida at Navy. South Florida going to Annapolis, man.
Let's talk about South Florida for a minute, Tuna, because we, Travis, we were talking outside, and we were both actually very happy. And look, I'm going to eat crow while I'm on here talking group of five. I am down on the group of five right now. Memphis, Tuna took me down again on Tulane Memphis. Memphis did not show up. Quarterback got a little hurt, but it doesn't matter. They got their butts whooped, and they are now out of it. And I do want to say that I'm glad the committee put in USF.
Yeah.
And you are too, and they deserve it because Tuna and I think, Travis, that USF can beat any team in this top 25.
No. Any team not in the top four right now. Top three right now.
Oh, right. But I think.
And Texas Tech. I don't think they could beat Texas Tech. But other than that, I'd put. I mean.
I think they could beat Bama.
I do too. That's why I said. I initially said four. If you subbed out Texas Tech
three.
For Bama.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they could play with A&M. I don't think they could play with Indiana or.
What about Georgia?
Ohio State. Yeah. I've seen Georgia this year where South Florida could definitely play with them. I don't – now, what Georgia shows up, you know what I mean?
But I – yeah.
I've seen South Florida look like just incredible this year, and then I've seen them – like against Miami, when they played Miami, they looked awful. They were overwhelmed by the athleticism.
You think they're going to come out flat tonight, Saturday? I don't think
I don't
so.
Think they'll come out flat. I just think Annapolis is a tough place to play. And you're at South Florida, and it's going to be 40 degrees-ish in Annapolis. It seems like the sun's not shining much in the fall. So you got a bunch of South Florida kids going up there to play a little chilly game.
And Navy's a totally different ball club.
Oh, man.
In their own building.
Talking absolutely. Bet that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet this game. Not at all. The 9.5-point spread is
South Florida,
probably right around there.
It's 10.5 right
okay.
now.
South Florida should
And is Horvath playing?
But they should have
as
their
far
juices
as I know,
flowing.
Okay.
Their juices should be
he
flowing.
He was out last game.
I mean, they've got to win every game.
Yeah.
So this, if they don't think that they, you know, they better be motivated for this game. Are they going to be the one of the last to drop?
I've just seen service academies, whether it's Army, Navy, or Air Force, all just completely, like, take the wind out of team sails with that style of play. And the way that they control the ball.
It'll be interesting.
If you keep Byron Brown off the field, then our Navy's got a shot. You know what I'm saying? Because that kid's electric, man. But, yeah, that's a scary game. It's going to be fun to see at noon.
But I'm not going to talk about the game, Travis, but go North Texas Mean Green. They are 8-1, folks. And they can get into that playoff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But South Florida would probably beat them by about, I don't know.
Well, they'll play in the AAC championship
they
game
will.
More than likely.
Yeah.
It does look like Horvath is expected to play, by the way.
Okay.
I just checked that.
He has to play for that game to be considered watchable.
Right. So my group of five that are left, Tuna, USF, North Texas, James Madison, Tulane, and Navy.
Mm. Yeah.
If Navy were to beat USF.
Yeah.
They only have, what? I think Navy has one loss.
I
two
can't
losses.
Get behind you or North James Madison.
I know you can't.
Like, I just
I know.
Can't.
I get it.
I
mean, North Texas, I think, can beat James Madison for sure.
Yeah, I do too. I think you put James Madison with any other team in, like, the top 40, and I don't think they win those games.
Okay. That's right,
so,
Louisville beat them.
Yeah. by 14, which is, yeah, they're just, every team they've beaten there is just not a good football team. It's just, yeah, James Madison, leave them out of there.
And any other games this weekend, guys, that?
I'd say TCU, BYU, but that's at 10 o'clock in Provo.
I had that on my list.
I just don't see TCU keeping up with them.
I don't either.
You know, BYU coming off a loss at 10 o'clock at night in Provo.
And they're going to have something to prove.
Yeah.
And like, if they can take an inch, they are going to take a mile in that game.
That was Stewie's lock.
Yeah, I've got him on my card for sure.
No, his lock is
TCU.
The other way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got
Which I was like, no, what?
Stu needs to stick to NFL. College is not his world.
Yeah, right.
So
So I think that gives us a pretty good foundation on the big games this weekend and where we think some of those might go. it is about time here at the end of the program, since we are in the downstairs pub, to go ahead and call last call. Any final thoughts and your picks, and of course, your pick for the TikTok video as well. And we will start, as usual, with Tuna, last call.
All right, real quick before I get into the picks, I just want to make a public service announcement. If you're mad at your team or players on your team or coaching staff, don't threaten them online. Look, I'm as mad at Miller Moss as anybody. You don't get online and talk crap to college kids.
You're just going to boycott Long John Silver.
Yeah, that's it. So, but I'm sure everybody's aware of the situation with Louisville and the guy getting arrested down in Texas for. Now, I still don't know what the extortion charge was. Do you guys know?
No.
I don't understand. You got 6 counts of terroristic threatening. But just like, if you get online and your immediate reaction is to bash the kid on Twitter at him, you know, don't mention him. You know what I'm saying? Stay out of that world. Anyway, let's get into the picks. I'm going to start out with Pittsburgh plus the 12.5. Then I'm going to go to 1-9 Boston College to cover the 16.5 against Georgia Tech. This game's in Boston College. I think Boston College kind of, Bill O'Brien goes all out in this game, and I think the matchup is there for Boston College to actually keep this close. Then I'm going to go with Virginia Tech plus the 14 at Florida State. I like this Virginia Tech team right now. They're playing tough with this intern coach, and Florida State's done. They're wrapping it up right now. I like Missouri at home minus the 7 versus Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State had an ice bath week. Georgia kind of pounded them physically last week. Now they have to roll into Missouri. And then I'm going to go with BYU minus the 4.5 at home versus TCU. That spread, I think you could even take that up to around.
Who was that?
What?
Who'd you say?
BYU over
okay.
Texas Christian, not Texas Tech. I may have said Texas Tech.
And what's your pick for the video this week?
Pick for the video, I'm going to go with BYU at home minus 4.5. Fred, if you're searching for a extra pick, I like Virginia Tech plus the 14 at Florida State.
All right, Freddie, last call.
I don't really have a last call, but I'm going to go ahead and make my bets. I'm going to go into Ole Miss. Coming off Florida, 3-6, coming off a loss to the Cats. I'm going to go Ole Miss.
Yes.
Minus 14.
Okay.
At home. Let's go to UConn. UConn's a good team, buddy.
No, they're scrappy.
UConn playing well. You got Air Force, 3-6. I like UConn. I like their record. Their beating quality teams just came off a win over Duke. I like UConn at home minus 5. I also like Missouri State. We're going to at Missouri State here, Tuna. You ever seen them play?
The Bears, right?
Yeah, Grizzlies. The Missouri State. They're like having that. A good season this year. Decent.
Is that where Bobby coached?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, they're playing a 2-7 UTEP team, and Missouri State. I've won a couple times on. They're looking good. I love that they're at home minus 2. Love that pick.
They're going to win their conference, aren't they?
They have a chance to. Yeah. They have a chance to. Is that? Four.
That's three.
Let's go to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
12 o'clocker. Arizona's traveling over to Cincy. Travis, how many times have I won on Arizona? About 3, something like that.
Probably.
Maybe more. Well, I'm going the other way this time. I'm going with Satterfield. Giving 6 at home, coming off a bye. I think that Arizona, they've been living by the skin of their teeth. I think they're going to finally lose this one on a road trip. And then I'm going with one of the hottest teams out there, in my opinion. I'm going with a Coastal Carolina. They're 6-3. They've won 5 in a row. They're going to Georgia Southern, who's having a tough season. And I'm going, well, I was going to go money line on that. Coastal Carolina plus 115 money line. I'm not sure what the spread is.
You can take them on the money line.
Yeah, I'm doing money line on that one. Coastal Carolina winning that one.
Chanticleers.
All right.
The Chanticleers. That, remember? Dude.
You should have named Southlake the Chanticleers.
I thought I said Southlake Chanticleers.
You
said Centennials.
Those are two different things.
Centurions.
I like Centennials. I'm sticking with the Southlake Centennials.
Okay. In my mind, they're the Minotaurs.
Can I bet on them?
Maybe. Here's Colin's picks for this week.
Oh, can't wait.
Colin has NC State to cover the 14.5 against Miami. He has Kennesaw State.
Oh, love them.
-3.5 against Jacksonville State.
Uh-huh.
He's got an under, Freddie. He's taking an under. He is taking the Virginia Duke game to go under 58.5.
That's a great bet.
Love it.
Because that game's going to be gross.
Love it. Love it.
He is taking Texas Tech to cover the 23.5 against UCF.
I took that.
And then, of course, he's bookending his picks with Indiana to cover 29.5 against Wisconsin.
Which I can see easily happening.
Now, before I get to my picks, I was going to say one of my picks was going to be I was going to take under Wisconsin's team total for the game. What do you think Wisconsin's total points is on FanDuel right now?
12.5.
Fred.
How many points are they getting?
How many points are they going to score in the game?
Team total at the end
of the game. Oh, I would. It has to be, what, 10 or 8 or 7?
It's 6.5.
Oh. 6.5.
It's 6.5. So I couldn't do it. Just in case of something stupid happens, fumble,
touchdown,
or an interception, or at the end of the ball game or something.
See, they committed to keep Fickell. I feel like you have to get fire a guy whose team total is 6.5
I
points.
Know. And Indiana's, I think, is 37.5 or something like that. Jesus. So, anyway, those are Colin's picks. Before I get to my picks, I just want to say my team, collegiate basketball, started this week with a big win over one of our rivals, KCD, who swept us last year. So that was very good. We play again tomorrow night against LKY.
Nice.
And pumped up about this group we have this year. And I think we're going to be a difficult team to play against. So good job to our guys from collegiate. My picks this week, they've burned me twice, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take Purdue to lose by more than 16.5 this week. They are at Washington, traveling out to Washington.
Okay.
Washington
off of that. Needs to show something. I think they batten down the hatches, and I think they blow Purdue out of the water. I'm looking at like a 48-10 type of game there.
Yeah, I feel like Ohio State was just playing with their food last week.
Yeah.
It was.
They pretty much were.
They weren't interested.
I am also taking Pittsburgh to cover the 12.5 against Notre Dame. I'm taking Kansas State, to cover 19.5 at Oklahoma State.
Oh.
I feel like that game should probably be like 58-10 or something. Mm-hmm. And then my last two picks are an over-under Big Ten double, daily double. I am taking The Oregon-Minnesota game to go over 44.5. I am taking Penn State and Michigan State to go under 49.5. And my TikTok pick this week is going to be Washington to beat Purdue by more than 16.5.
Man, I skipped one.
Well,
throw it in there.
Throw it in there.
Bet.
Well, I had it circled.
This won't
and
go
I,
on our record.
Well,
but like,
I'd rather
give it to the fans.
Yeah, I was going to take one out. But, anyways, dude, hey, Southern Miss is playing great football.
Mm-hmm.
They're 7-2, coming off a bye.
They got
They're
Texas
at
State
home.
Coming in
they
there?
Do.
Yeah.
I'm going against the Bobcats. They're having a bad year.
They're not. They've dealt with a lot of injuries.
South Alabama and them are both teams that I always follow. They're having both really bad. G.J. Kinney.
I don't think a lot of it's his fault this year.
Right, I get it. But Southern Miss is at home giving 3.5. And I'm going to bet that. And I kind of wish I would have taken that game off.
Well, Hattiesburg gets wild down there.
We will consider that a bonus bet.
That's a bonus.
This weekend, like I said, it's not chock full of crazy games, but I think we've touched on all the games of importance and interest. Can't wait to see how things unfold. And going into next week, week three of the playoff, what do they call those? The playoff, not the brackets, just playoff rankings, I guess.
Yeah,
is playoff, what they call it.
They call it the selection, playoff selection. I guess
so,
I don't know.
Those are on Tuesday nights, I think.
Playoff reveal.
Next week we'll either be doing, I'm not sure, things are always fluid around here. We'll either be doing the show Tuesday or Wednesday next week. But we will recap.
Could be Sunday.
It absolutely could. We will recap what happens this coming week. We will preview the games coming up the week after. I'm going to preview a big trip that Colin and I are going to be taking, college football-centric trip that we are very much looking forward to. So we will get to all of that next week. Reminder, if you enjoy the show and you think one of your friends might enjoy it, please tell them they can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts.
Check out the video.
Look for Fred on TikTok. Last week we had well over 1,000 views. We hope that it gets bigger and bigger each and every week. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.